Com.
At Village Green Apothecary, they've created a unique free program called the Essentials of Healthy Living, or EHL for short. EHL helps you develop a customized plan to take the guesswork out of which supplements you need. Visit their Bethesda location at 5415 West Cedar Lane and check out their easy-to-use EHL display. You can get free information cards about your health needs, from chronic ailments to heart health, allergies, or dietary issues. You'll find EHL information.
Hello, welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the next hour, bringing you this show along with my co-host, Kevin Passaro. What we try to do is bring you the latest information in diet, nutrition, and healthy lifestyles. I will remind you that we're here every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., and you can also listen to this show and any of the other previous shows by going to myvillagegreen.com. They stream the shows through myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of Village Green, it's important to go to the site or visit the store on Cedar Lane. Expert advice is available on supplements, on diet. They have a wonderful staff. The store and the website are really your resource for a wide variety of superior supplements from many manufacturers. So take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products, either on the site myvillagegreen.com or at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Now today our topic is irritable bowel syndrome, and we are going to be speaking with Silvano Arnaldo, and he has been in the natural food product industry for a long time, so we will look forward to information from him. Before we get started, I did want to give you some information and what I call news you can use and bring you up to speed and cover some general topics about irritable bowel syndrome. Now, it's called IBS. And it's very confusing to people because there's also something called IBD, which is inflammatory bowel disease. So we're talking about irritable bowel syndrome, and what's the difference between the two? The IBS actually refers to disorders of the lower intestinal tract, also called the colon, and it involves abdominal pain, abnormal bowel movements, and stress often makes the symptoms worse. Some people may experience it only under stress. Whereas inflammatory bowel disease includes such conditions as Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. Now, the difference here is in irritable bowel, there isn't inflammation. There isn't damage to the mucosal tissues in the colon. Whereas inflammatory bowel disease has inflammation of those mucosal tissues. So that's the difference. And sometimes they can overlap, and sometimes they can one can appear like the other. So what kind of symptoms does somebody have that has IBS, irritable bowel syndrome? Well, it's abdominal distension, fullness, gas, bloating. It's abdominal pain that comes and goes, and it's reduced or goes away after a bowel movement, and it occurs more often after meals when, of course, the GI tract is being stimulated. Chronic and frequent constipation, usually accompanied by pain, is another symptom, and or chronic and frequent diarrhea. So people can flip back and forth and have both constipation and diarrhea. As I said before, emotional distress may be part of it, and depression, and a loss of appetite. Now, some people wonder about the emotional connection between the bowel and the brain, and they share the same neurotransmitters, and that is why constipated bowel, constipated brain, anxious bowel, anxious brain. So they do share the same neurotransmitters, and it is one reason why some of the medications that are used are often serotonergic medications that calm the brain and also calm the bowel. So let's talk a little bit about what kind of causes we will see as underlying IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. There will be muscle spasms that can cause it, and it's a problem in the muscles of the GI tract, not in the lining or the mucosal tissues. And that's what I was mentioning before when we talked about inflammation. Nutrition can be an issue. If one's low in magnesium, they're more likely to spasm. So that's a common issue. If people lack choline, they may not get proper stimulation or motility of the colon. And choline is also important for making acetylcholine in the brain. So it stimulates brain and stimulates bowel. So those are a few of the nutritional issues. The quality of the diet makes a difference. The type of fiber, how much fiber, and I know we'll be talking about that in more detail. Infections. Often after an infection, somebody can end up with IBS. And as I want to repeat that the diagnosis here is based on symptom presentation. There is no absolute test except for tests that would rule out other similar conditions. So food reactions can be part of it, and digestive enzyme deficiencies can be part of it. These are produced in the digestive tract, and if we don't make a certain amount of digestive enzymes, such as lactase for lactose or sucrase for sucrose, then we will have problems that look like and are often diagnosed as irritable bowel syndrome. Neurotransmitter problems will also trigger or be an underlying cause, and we mentioned that earlier. So, what about this condition? It's often confused or can present as other conditions, and other conditions can present as irritable bowel syndrome. The inflammatory bowel conditions can be diagnosed or misdiagnosed as IBS. Chronic constipation, which is different from IBS, can also be diagnosed as that. And parasitic infections can also be misdiagnosed. Now, there are also what we call comorbidity. And what that means is that more than one condition can occur at the same time. So someone might have irritable bowel syndrome, but they could also have an inflammatory bowel condition like colitis. They could have celiac disease. So people can have more than one condition. And one of the things that I observe in working with patients is that when they have a diagnosis, and I suggest that they get a celiac test to make sure that that's not an underlying issue, I will often hear, oh no, I have IBS. That's what I have. Yet a large percentage of IBS patients and inflammatory bowel disease patients have celiac or other conditions. So it's important to be really thorough when doing a diagnostic workup and doing tests, and we can test for celiac. So that's important. Now, a little bit of information. We're going to talk more about this, but just to let you know what's hot off the press, there are several studies looking at probiotics, and we talk about that a lot on the show, the good flora that inhabit the entire digestive tract, most particularly the small intestine and large intestine. And there are different flora in different areas of the intestinal tract, and they're very important to us. I'll remind you that we have 10 trillion human cells and 100 trillion bug cells. So we are one part human, 10 part bug. This floral balance in our bodies is extremely important to function. What we have said before, and I want to reiterate, is that probiotics are critical for good digestion, so they help the process of digestion. They also help nutrient absorption, and 70% of the entire immune system is located in the mucosal tissues of the gut, fed by all these good bacteria, good flora, good bugs, as the way we sometimes say it. So it is not unusual to find a whole lot of articles on probiotics and a healthy gut, probiotics and irritable bowel syndrome, along with many other bowel conditions. Some of the other treatments that showed up in the current literature are the effectiveness of acupuncture. And acupuncture has many more effects than most people are aware of. It's not just about pain and headaches. It affects every part of the body. And this is a stress-related condition for many people, so naturally acupuncture would work. Meditation certainly is helpful. There are a lot of ways of treating this, and we're going to cover them more thoroughly. I'm just trying to give you a background, and I want to remind you that you're on the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260, and I'm Dana Lake, your host. Please stay with us because we're going to be right back after the break and cover this subject of irritable bowel syndrome.
You've been listening to the Essentials of Healthy Living show, so isn't it time you visited the store that brought you this great program? At Village Green Apothecary, you can find all the products you need to support your healthy lifestyle. They have just what you need for a healthier lifestyle, from vitamins and minerals to body care products and books. Best of all, they'll give you the kind of personalized service you just won't get at a chain drugstore. Visit them at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or call 301-530-0800.
Every day, aches and pains can get in the way of living life to the fullest, from living life on your terms. Wobenzym N from Garden of Life is the natural choice for joint and tendon health, increased flexibility and mobility, as well as temporary relief from the aches, pains, and muscle soreness due to everyday activities. Trusted by millions worldwide and backed by decades of human clinical research, Wobenzym N can help you escape the everyday, leaving you free to experience the extraordinary health and life you deserve. Wobenzym N, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Bridging the gap between naturaceuticals and pharmaceuticals, that's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulas, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Ask your functional medicine consultant for complete details. For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
CoQ10 is a powerful antioxidant that supports heart function, energy production, immune response, and protects against damage from free radicals. Aging reduces our ability to absorb CoQ10 from our diet, and taking a highly absorbable CoQ10 supplement is key to ensuring optimal levels within the body. So don't just settle for any CoQ10 supplement. Ask specifically for Gero Formula's QH Absorb at Village Green Apothecary. Or for more information on QH Absorb, go to Gero.com. That's Jarrow for the best in highly absorbable, bioavailable CoQ10 supplements.
Hello, welcome back, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, alternating this show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, trying to bring you a wide variety of information all about your health. Please tune in next week for Kevin. He'll be talking with Joseph Lamb of Metagenics, and that's the Functional Medicine Research Center. They have a lot of information on what they call the benefits of first-line therapy. And today on our show, we are talking with Silvano Arnaldo, and I am so pleased to have you on the show, Silvano. I just wanted to tell them a little bit about your career. Your expertise is natural health products, and you've been in the industry a long time, and you have a background in with a Bachelor of Science in Biology and courses in nutrition and naturopathy. So welcome to the show, and we're looking forward to you sharing some clinical pearls with us.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be on the show and to share some of the knowledge I have on probiotics.
Well, let's start. We did talk a little bit about irritable bowel syndrome and the differences between that and IBD and other inflammatory conditions. Do you have some sort of basic information to start with, and then we'll go into more in-depth information? And I always like that the listeners can come away from the show with helpful hints that they can start using right away. So we want to focus on that.
Yeah, well, the basic information about IBS is that it involves basically a dysbiosis. I mean, one of the characteristics or one of the, let's say, phenomena around IBS is that there is what's called a dysbiosis of the intestinal flora. So the intestinal flora is really not what you typically see in so-called normal individuals. There is an imbalance. So definitely that's one of the characteristics. And people, of course, experience it as being, with bloating and cramps, and some might have diarrhea, others might have constipation, others might have an alteration between diarrhea and constipation. But if you really analyze the flora, this is one of the things that you do see. So this is where then, you know, having a probiotic, especially if a probiotic that has been studied for this particular application, could be beneficial. And so the whole idea of using probiotics in this case is to try to reestablish the intestinal flora to a state that is more considered to be, you know, the so-called more balanced or normal state.
Well, I think you've said that very well. I appreciate your description. Can you talk a little bit about the types of flora, and are there certain ones that are more effective for patients that have IBS?
Yes. The ones that have been studied primarily involve the species within the group of the lactobacilli, and even in the bifidobacteria in some cases. So basically, they are what we call the lactic acid bacteria, basically species, and many of them involve lactobacilli. So it is these flora that are considered to basically help in maintaining an equilibrium. So the so-called probiotic strains have been basically studied to see the relationship or the influence they have on, for example, inhibiting pathogenic bacteria or putrefactive bacteria that cause a lot of these intestinal, what we call dysbiosis. So the whole idea is that by introducing beneficial strains inside your GI tract, you have an opportunity to help reestablish this so-called more balanced state of the intestinal ecosystem.
Sometimes we talk, too, about the fact that in this culture, at least in the Western cultures, we tend not to have very well cultured guts because we don't include so many cultured foods.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to encourage our patients to do that in addition to the probiotics.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yes. Well, cultured foods, of course. Traditionally, we have seen, I mean, that there are studies or that look into, let's say, populations that have traditionally consumed fermented foods, and basically the observations are that generally they are associated with health, actually, and you know, from the scientific knowledge we have today, it does make sense, because, for example, consuming, let's say, fermented dairy products, or let's say products like sauerkrauts, olives, or even, you know, what you see in the more eastern cultures in Japan, for example, miso and various other fermented foods. We do know that these foods basically contain, first of all, they're very easy to digest, number one, so they really help, especially those individuals that might have a hard time normally digesting regular foods. But also, these foods will contain, you know, so-called metabolites that these the species that are involved in the fermentations produce. So, for example, you know, like in a yogurt or in a kefir, I mean, there are some metabolites that, for example, like lactic acid. Just lactic acid alone is known to actually help promote health of the GI tract and inhibit pathogenic bacteria. So there are many metabolites that these actually bacterial species could produce. And like I say, these metabolites actually aid in maintaining a good health of the intestinal tract. So that's part of the story. So obviously fermented foods are easy to digest and also at the same time contain metabolites. They don't necessarily contain, though, what we call the probiotic organisms that are live microorganisms that they themselves are able to colonize and of course, confer health benefits on individuals. So fermented foods are basically, as the word implies, it's a food. It's not necessarily a probiotic. But as a food, it's considered to be a very healthy food.
Well, that's very well said, and I always make the comment that in our Western culture, the commercial products, like the commercial yogurts, may not have very adequate probiotic count, if at all.
No. A probiotic food is not necessarily a a fermented food is not necessarily a probiotic food. Just because it's a yogurt, by the current definition of a probiotic, it is not, yogurt is not a probiotic. It's a fermented food.
So it encourages it. I was just concerned that the commercialization and the products that we have that are commercial aren't even well fermented. Once they're made and then they're processed even further, I'm not sure we get as much as we would in a homemade product.
But yeah, that could be, but they could be well fermented. The thing is that the main critique I would say about them is that, you know, you cannot refer to them as a probiotic because
right.
The definition of probiotic has to be viable cells that can survive passage through this to your GI tract, that can actually, you know, adhere, establish, colonize, and when they do all that, they're able to multiply inside your GI tract. Well, then they also confer benefits. That's a probiotic. A fermented food, like I say, the organisms used to ferment foods are appropriate for that application, for fermenting the food, not necessarily as a probiotic, you see?
Excellent, excellent. Good information.
So basically, like a yogurt, I would say, yeah, very good food. I would say, you know, if you ask me, if somebody asked me, well, you know, what's better, for example, just drinking milk or yogurt, I would say, well, yogurt, because it's fermented, more easy to digest, and contains, like I mentioned, some metabolites that can actually confer some health benefits.
Well, that is very, very well explained. What I'd like to talk about is some of the particular bacteria and their effects. You mentioned the lactic acid forming ones. Are there other ones that are more important in the GI tract as far as getting the balance or correcting what we call dysbiosis?
Well, there's also in the realm of probiotics a yeast that is used also that is particularly useful in the area of diarrhea, antibiotic-associated diarrhea, for example, in helping to control C. difficile, and that's called Saccharomyces boulardii. So that's a yeast, it's not a bacteria, and it doesn't, it's sort of different than a typical bacteria that we, like a lactobacillus bifidobacteria. So there are other, let's say, microorganisms out there that might also have, might be considered to be a probiotic. But generally, in the current, state of affairs, it generally is within the species of the lactobacillus and bifidobacteria for the most part, but it can also come from other genuses.
Well, good. This is a very good first segment, and what I'd like to do is take a brief break, and we will come back and talk about this. Folks, you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Please stay with us. We will be right back after this break.
Ever wish you had a healthy living coach? Well, you do. Village Green Apothecary has 45 trained professionals who are here to help you, including pharmacists, nutritionists, an herbalist, and naturopaths. They take the time to really know you and give you a customized solution to your healthcare needs. From vitamins and minerals to compounded prescriptions, they have the personalized answers you need to create your healthy lifestyle. Visit Village Green in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or call 301-530-08.
Did you know the average American consumes 135 pounds of sugar a year? Get the lowdown on sugar and the natural support of GlucoCare from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare. GlucoCare has been clinically proven to maintain blood sugar levels within normal range. It also supports normal triglycerides and cholesterol levels and normally functioning cells of the pancreas. Get the lowdown on sugar and reach for all-natural GlucoCare by Himalaya Herbal Healthcare, available at Village Green Apothecary. Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, developed by Chris Killam, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Isn't it time you visited Village Green Apothecary? They've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years, and they still take the time to really know each of their customers and provide individualized attention and personalized service. With over 10,000 products in stock, they have just what you need for a healthier lifestyle, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products and health-related books. Visit them at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or call 301-530-0800. Village Green.
Hello, welcome back, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, alternating this show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and Kevin and I try to bring you a wide variety of information that's all about your health. I'm also reminding you to tune in next week to hear Kevin interview Joseph Lamb, and they will be talking about the benefits of first-line therapy. But we are carrying on a very interesting conversation with Silvano Arnaldo, and we're talking about irritable bowel syndrome, and we've been talking about probiotics. So go ahead. I want to hear more of what you have to say, Silvano.
Okay. Well, yeah, very excited to talk about probiotics. So basically, I'd like to speak a little bit about one particular strain that has been researched in the area of irritable bowel syndrome. It has been researched also in other areas, but since we're on this topic, we're going to stick to this topic. But this is something very important because a probiotic, first of all, I want to make it clear that it is not any species of bacteria that, you know, you could find. Like, for example, sometimes I hear people, you know, say, well, I have a lactobacillus acidophilus in my product, and it's a probiotic. And according to the scientific definition, a probiotic has to be researched. There has to be some, basically, clinical documentation. There has to be some studies that have to be performed on this particular strain to determine if it's a probiotic. So I want to make it clear that not all lactobacilli that you find out there are all bifidobacteria are probiotics.
Good morning.
And I'd like to go through and discuss what is the selection criteria for a probiotic.
Good.
Very important. So basically, these days, the way that we select a probiotic strain is, first of all, you know, we have to make sure that it has a certain degree of safety. We have to make sure that it is basically from a species that is generally perceived as being non-pathogenic. So that's a very important thing. We don't want to choose any kind of strain. And then, of course, we have to find out whether it is also able to be to survive when it goes through the stomach, for example. You know, if we ingest probiotics, for example, with our foods or just probiotics in that are not treated to be protected from stomach acid, then they have to have a certain resistance to a low pH to stomach acid. And then they also have to have a certain resistance to bile salts, because once they get in the duodenum, as you know, there's a, you know, all this secretion of bile salts that is actually entering into the duodenum, and if a probiotic strain is not able to survive that, then it's going to die off and it's not going to do any benefit. So these are some of the basic things that we have to look at. And then we have to look at, well, you know, once, you know, if it does survive through stomach acid and it does survive the duodenum, then is it able to actually colonize? So there has to be studies to show that it's able to colonize. And then we have to see, well, does it adhere, for example, a very important characteristic also of probiotics, especially those that have immune modulating characteristics, they have to also be able to adhere to the lining of the GI tract. And so one of the strains that has been studied for IBS is a strain called L. plantarum 299V. And so the species in this case is L. plantarum, and it doesn't mean that all L. plantarum species or strains will have this ability. And the 299V refers to a specific L. plantarum strain. And it turns out that it has very good characteristics. It's able to really be able to really colonize very well the GI tract, adhere very well also to the lining of the GI tract. And in this case, it is also able to, if it adheres to the GI tract, then that means that pathogens or other organisms that might cause problems are not able to adhere because it is adhering. So it's sort of like excluding the bacteria that might or microorganisms that could be causing problems. For example, like when we have, we just mentioned about dysbiosis in the case of IBS. And it's also able to grow very quick and multiply very quick, and in so doing, it also produces various what we call short chain fatty acids, like lactic acid, acetic acid, and these lactic acids have, first of all, the ability to reduce the pathogens or putrefactive bacteria in the GI tract. And at the same time, these acids are also become a source of energy for the cells of the GI tract. In other words, the cells, the enterocytes, are able to use these short-chain fatty acids as a source of energy.
Well, that's important. You've really covered a lot of ground here. I like the fact that you've really delineated the standards very well, that there's got to be a degree of safety for a probiotic. It also has to survive digestion, colonize, and adhere.
Yeah.
And then we're seeing that many of the different kinds of probiotics have different qualities. And the L. plantarum 299V, how common is that among probiotic supplements?
Well, it's not very common. It's basically a documented strain that is basically commercialized by very few companies. So, for example, right now in the U.S. market, it's basically Jarrow Formulas is the company that has in the U.S. To be sold as a dietary supplement. That means like it comes in a capsule form. So basically, it's not very common out there. It's very limited as far as distribution. It's very has a very, let's say, limited number of companies that are distributing it. And Jarrow is basically the only one right now in the health food distribution channel that has a distribution of this particular supplement.
Well, the Jarrow company does an excellent job with many kinds of supplements, and certainly their probiotics are exceptional. So does L. plantarum not 299V tend to show up? If it's listed as L. plantarum, the 299V descriptor really needs to be there. Is that correct?
Exactly, yeah, because the 299V tells you what strain it is. If it's just L. plantarum or L. plantarum something else, whatever, 4099 or whatever it may be, well, you know, then you have to ask, well, you know, what research was done on that particular strain. Maybe there was research on it, but when you see L. plantarum 299V, I mean, you can look it up, for example, go on the web, and you'll find a lot of information on that particular strain. So basically, probiotics, these days, the way we refer to them, it really is strain-specific. And what attributes a strain has does not necessarily apply to other strain within the same species. So basically, the research that was done on L. plantarum 299V does not necessarily apply to other L. plantarum strains. So 299V, yes, is key on basically identifying it is if it indeed is the strain that has been studied and documented and, you know, went through clinical studies.
Then beyond IBD or IBS, I would imagine that for IBD, the L. plantarum 299V would be very helpful.
There's also some, yes, some studies done on IBD as well. And they tried to find out basically how, you know, the mechanism of action. And it's like I was saying, because it's able to adhere very well, it has an immune modulation effect. And one of the effects it has, it reduces inflammation.
Excellent.
So basically, specifically, they've looked at actually pro-inflammatory cytokinin. So it reduces pro-inflammatory cytokines.
Very specific.
Yes.
And that's impressive. Is the effect strictly in the GI tract, or is there a systemic effect as well?
Well, when we're talking about modulating immune system, it's systemic effect as well. So, yes, I mean, you know, the actual communications, you know, between, let's say, the probiotics and the immune cells lining the GI tract, as you know, there's probably something like 70% of immune cells are found along the lining of the GI tract. So yes, obviously the messages that are basically communicated there at that level are, you know, will have a systemic effect.
You know, that's so impressive. Every time I think about how impressive it is that 70% of the immune system is in the GI tract, and how important the biosis in the GI tract is.
Yeah,
it makes all of these ones that meet the standards that you've spoken about so very important. And
yeah,
we're going to take a brief break. And listeners, you are listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living. We're talking about irritable bowel syndrome with Silvano Arnaldo, and we will be right back after this break.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Cold Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Cold is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Cold Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Cold. Available at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda or online at myvillagegreen.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of FitFood, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and much more. Each delicious serving of FitFood contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber, immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. FitFood provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com, available now through your healthcare professional at Village Green Apothecary. All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
CoQ10 is a powerful antioxidant that supports heart function, energy production, immune response, and protects against damage from free radicals. Aging reduces our ability to absorb CoQ10 from our diet, and taking a highly absorbable CoQ10 supplement is key to ensuring optimal levels within the body. So don't just settle for any CoQ10 supplement. Ask specifically for Gero Formula's QH Absorb at Village Green Apothecary. Or for more information on QH Absorb, go to Gero.com. That's J-A-R-R-O-W for the best in highly absorbable, bioavailable CoQ10 supplements.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, hosting this show and wanting to remind you to tune in next week to listen to Kevin Pissarro, who is my co-host, and Kevin will be talking about the benefits of first-line therapy. We are on line here with Silvano Arnaldo. We've been talking about IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. We've learned about the differences between that and inflammatory bowel conditions. And we've been talking about the standards that probiotics must meet to be effective. They must be safe, survive digestion, actually colonize, and actually adhere. And we were talking about L. plantarum 299V, which is very effective because it's a highly specific strain that's good for IBD. It excludes problem microorganisms, or what we call pathogens, so it cleans up dysbiosis. It's anti-inflammatory, and it provides energy to the intestinal cells. So, Silvano, shall we talk more about other strains? Is there something else that would be helpful to our listeners, and maybe a little about prebiotics as well?
Yeah, well, prebiotics, then of course those are also very interesting as well, because we do know that they also help to increase the beneficial bacteria, basically, if they're found predominantly in the colon, and specifically they are the bifidobacteria. Because prebiotics are not digested by us, we are not able to digest them. They are, you might say, a form of a fiber, and so they arrive into the colon intact. Basically, they're not broken down by our digestive enzymes, and so it turns out that the bifidobacteria, in particular, are actually able to use them as energy source and multiply. And in this way, because they're able to grow in number, then, and they produce, like I say, also then these short chain fatty acids. And when they grow in number, because these short chain fatty acids, you know, somewhat lower the pH, and pathogens don't do very much in a low pH environment. They actually also help to reduce the amount of putrefactive and pathogenic bacteria. So it's another means that we have these days available for us to increase beneficial bacteria and to help basically promote a more balanced state of the so-called intestinal ecosystem that we have within us.
And what I'm hearing is really that when we get that balanced gut, the balanced state in the intestinal tract,
yeah,
many, many conditions that involve the GI tract respond well. We know that even GERD can improve, and most people think of that as being too far up the GI tract to benefit, but we do find benefit. What other benefits can you talk to with regard to the prebiotics and probiotics?
Yeah, well, you know, one very important thing, you know, we often talk about, you know, cleansing, right? We want to cleanse our system, our digestive tract, our liver. Well, a good way to cleanse is indeed by increasing the beneficial organisms in our GI tract. Because, as I mentioned before, if there is an overgrowth of pathogenic putrefactive bacteria, we know very well that these bacteria produce toxins, and the toxins that they produce are actually absorbed through the lining of the GI tract, and they do go into the bloodstream, and they do go to the liver. So, you know, if we can reduce these putrefactive and pathogenic bacteria, then we also reduce the toxins that they produce. So the toxins are not just found in the foods. Of course, we have toxins in the food from the chemicals, perhaps, that are used for insecticides, for example. But a lot of the chemicals or toxins are actually produced by the flora inside our GI tract. So this is the other benefit. We actually will help our liver and reduce the amount of even procarcinogens. There are procarcinogens produced, for example, by pathogenic bacteria that can actually be reduced and therefore actually help to lower the risk of colon cancer. So there are many other benefits that we can get, but these are just some of the basic ones and really a good reason why, you know, we should definitely think to regularly consume good foods and probiotics and prebiotics, actually.
Well, what's also interesting when you were talking about prebiotics and that they're a fiber, a form of a fiber, and
yep.
They're also found in breast milk. And we get back again to
yes.
That breast milk is perfect.
It's perfect, exactly. You know, we have learned so much, actually, from the studies of that have been done with, for example, breast milk and infant nutrition and infant basically health, and particularly the bacterial profile or the organisms found in breastfed infants versus bottle-fed infants. So, yeah, I mean, nature has provided human beings with an excellent, you know, nutrition that from breast milk. Not only is it nutrition to help basically provide whatever the infant needs as far as nutrients, but probiotics as well, and prebiotics. And it turns out that infants have a very high, breastfed infants have a very high number of bifidobacteria. Actually, the dominant flora in breastfed infants is actually bifidobacteria.
Right.
And we know why that is. First of all, there are bifidobacteria that are in the mother's milk. But above all, there's also the so-called galactooligosaccharide. These are the prebiotics that we find in breast milk. It's called GOS or galactooligosaccharides. And these actually promote the growth of bifidobacteria. So the mothers provide the bifidobacteria and also the prebiotic to support the growth and multiplication of the bifidobacteria. The other very important thing, because we were talking about immune system before, the immune system in a newly born infant is not in the GI tract. I'm talking about specifically the immune system lining the GI tract is not very developed, and it develops as the flora of the GI tract develops. So in other words, there's a relationship between the development of the flora of a baby and the immune system lining the GI tract.
Well, it's no accident then that breastfed babies have lower infection rate,
yeah, exactly.
Better nutrition, less
yep.
symptoms, less
yep.
Respiratory infections, ear infections,
less
et
allergies.
Far less allergies
yep.
and also less asthma.
Yeah.
And what a difference it makes. And
exactly, yeah.
One of the impressive studies I saw was that there's a 60% reduction in eczema, allergies, and asthma
yeah.
when the mother takes probiotics while pregnant.
Exactly, yeah.
And
it yeah.
confers this benefit
yeah.
for up to 2 years in the infant.
Exactly, yeah. It's amazing. It's really amazing. It's simple things that, you know, we in the past we kind of forgot about it, but now the new a lot of new data shows that it's so important, and particularly the new data also shows basically the importance of the development of the GI flora in an infant. Very important, and it has far-reaching consequences to the health in later on years. And it's actually during the first 2 years that the flora develops. It takes about 2 years to have what we call a mature flora.
Tough
and
to do if
every individual has his own unique profile.
Yes.
That's the other neat thing. It's just amazing. So it's very interesting. So we're learning a lot from those kind of studies, actually, about the importance of probiotics, prebiotics, and the development of the so-called GI ecosystem.
And that ecosystem is also unique based on geography, you know, where people live, what they're exposed to. That's what I found interesting. It's customized. So that 2 years to mature for the immune system is pretty profound.
Yeah.
We have just a short period of time left. I wish we had longer, but could you mention a few of the Gero formulas that are excellent for this?
Yeah, well, one of the products that's been just launched right now that actually contains L-plantarum 209V is called Ideal Bowel Support. So that's a very excellent product based on basically a strain that has been documented for the last 20 years. So there's a lot of research and many studies behind this strain.
Good.
There are other products that Jara has, for example, for general use for people who are traveling, very convenient because it doesn't need any refrigeration.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the EPS product.
Okay.
There's also another relatively new product that contains also various documented strains called CDS. CDS stands for clinically documented strains. So it's a product actually that contains 7 documented strains. And basically these are strains that were researched for basically help promote a good, healthy, let's say, balanced, let's say, flora, helping control pathogens and so forth and preventing infections. So that's another one. And then, of course, there's a Saccharomyces boulardii product as well for people perhaps that are taking antibiotics. The neat thing about taking a yeast in this case is that generally antibiotics don't kill the yeast. Antibiotics would actually kill a lot of bacteria, including probiotics. So it's a good idea during, let's say, intake of antibiotics that people take this particular yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii. And there's also another excellent product that has 2 clinically documented strains with also over 20 years of research. 2 strains are found in a product called Fendophilus, and that's actually for vaginal infections to help prevent and treat vaginal infections. So, and a lot of research was done in that particular area. So these are strains actually that were isolated from the vagina of women, and they're actually, you know, designed basically for that application.
Well, that is a very good ending to what has been a very interesting discussion. I want to thank you so much. I hope you can come back on the show, Silvano, do this another time. So,
well, thank you very much for having me on the show. It was a pleasure, really.
Happy to. Well, listeners, you've gotten a lot of information on IBD and more on probiotics. It's a complex subject. I hope it's been helpful to you. And I want to thank you for joining us, but remind you to tune in every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. for the Essentials of Healthy Living. It's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. May all your days be filled with breathtaking moments. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a really great day.
Every day, aches and pains can get in the way of living life to the fullest, from living life on your terms. Wobenzyme N from Garden of Life is the natural choice for joint and tendon health, increased flexibility and mobility, as well as temporary relief from the aches, pains, and muscle soreness due to everyday activities. Trusted by millions worldwide and backed by decades of human clinical research, Wobenzyme N can help you escape the everyday, leaving you free to experience the extraordinary health and life you deserve. Wobenzyme N, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenetics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
The station that makes sense. This is 1260.
WWJ.